Ready? All right, good. Let's do this thing. Hello. So, a lot of powerful revelations this week. This week was a good week. Now, I'm going to qualify that. I felt a lot of heaviness this week on me. A lot of uncertainty. The spirit of insecurity attacked me hard this week. It was a good week. I had a good week. I had a good week. I had a good week. It was a good week because even with that attack, I felt uncertain about next steps. Now, those of you who know me know. He's like, what are you talking about? A week ago, we did all of this. That's last week. Now this is finished, and I start to trepidate again. Like, I need something else to do, God. I don't feel strong if I'm not doing something. See, I'm not like other people. Other people look for a reason to sit in their behind and not do nothing. Me, if I'm not doing something, I can get a little crazy. So I was building the salon and building this and then shooting the whole nominee video. I had 15 things going at one time and DNI and Red Cross and then, yes. And then it was a few days. It was just nothing. It's like, and here comes the enemy. See, you ain't doing nothing. Look at your life. What are you accomplishing? Like, just last week, right? No, this week, you ain't accomplishing anything. But this time, I sat down and I listened to what was being said to me. When the enemy starts coming at you, stop changing the channel so fast. So I say, I don't see that. If you figure out his attack, you know how to defeat it. I'm not saying buy into it, but sit down and listen to his BS a little bit. And then you know what you find up saying to yourself? That's all you got, really? This is it? This is your best shot. This is it, huh? You've said this before. Again and again and again and again. You've told me all these things about me a million times. And God spoke something to me. He said, you know, I need you to let people know, I have this podcast coming up that I'm doing for this. I'll explain all of that later, but phenomenal reach. There's a bunch of students and people that are former military, and this woman was on our Vision Builders, and she said, I want you to be on my podcast. By the way, there's a magazine that should be dropping early this week, I'm thinking. Tomorrow, right? The High Valley Business, where they did a whole interview on me. So, God's opening doors, like, you're speaking. And if you'll remember, just to make you laugh, when I spoke to God about my future and where I was going, if you'll remember about not even a year ago, I said to you, God said to me, you're trying to build tech, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do staffing, but how do I feed you? You remember that conversation? Through talking. That's what you do. That's your gift. Why aren't you not allowing me to expand that? And here we are. Negotiation, structure, talking. So from United Way to Red Cross to Vision Builders, to 1130, to JCMI. It's a lot of stuff that I do in the course of a day. I didn't even mention FIA. And it goes. Did I even mention the salon? No, I didn't even mention the salon. So that's seven things. That's a long list of stuff. So if nothing is really like moving, I get a little ugh. But here's what the Lord showed me for you. For me, but for you too. He said, no matter how successful you become, you will never escape the human experience. No matter how much money you have. See, when you don't have money, you make yourself believe if you only had. But rich people commit suicide at a higher rate than poor people. Because they can't say, if I was only poor again, things would be great. So they don't have a up. You need to understand that the human experience is real. It's going to be there. The enemy is going to always tell you you're a failure, even if you got 50 Grammys and 5 Tonys and 10 Emmys. He's going to always tell you you're not good at something. You failed at this. You're never going to be good at that. There's always going to be something that the enemy will throw at your human experience. Your job is to focus back and aim your spirit at what saith the Lord versus what saith your emotions. That's why this was a good week. I got to do that. I got to feel the attack, and I got to say, but for real, who am I? Amen. Yes. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Count it total joy that I'm worthy to be on the team and run. I'm trying to use some kind of sports terms, but I don't know sports, so let me not even try. And do whatever you do for whatever that team it is you have to do to win against the opposition. Get the basket, run the touchdown, hit the home run. I know enough to say that. I like winning. Okay, they're coming in slowly, but I'm listening for them. I like winning. But then the process of winning is a lot of time, most times, faced with opposition. If any sport was designed that once you got the ball, the puck, the whatever, that everybody steps aside and lets you run and get the score, it wouldn't be much of a game. The competition, the opposition to your success is what is designed to build character. So, I don't want to go over the old stuff, but I want to go forward, but I just want to add from the past couple of weeks' message. God showed me something. He said, people have said, and I heard a couple of songs. I decided to put on some Christian music on my way here. Lord, help us sometime. They could be so pitiful and so, oh my God, and I'm going through hard times and trouble on every side, and everywhere I look, people are holding me down. But somewhere out there, God, you out there. I don't know where you are. I can't see you. You can see the devil real clear, though. Whose child are you really? I'm just saying. Your daughter already know who her mommy is. She know anybody else pick her up, even if she like them or not. She know it ain't mommy. I don't know how you can see the devil everywhere you look and you can't see Jesus. You must have got off track. I'm just trying to say, if Jesus is always in the distance in your life, sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Something wrong with you. He said before you, it'll come to pass, before you call, I've answered, God said. So if he's there before you call and you still can't see him, Somebody got some devil glasses on. I don't ever find God far, far away. I just got to tell my emotions to shut up so I can hear the God who's speaking loud and clear to me all the time. Somebody better act like they know what I'm talking about. So the Lord said to me, you know, the human experience is a real thing. Your flesh wars against the spirit. It's contrary to it. If God says you win, your flesh is not going to agree. Your flesh is going to say, make me feel good, and then I'll agree. Please me the way I want to be pleased, and then I'll agree. Until then, I'm not agreeing with you. Okay, I can deal with that. So I saw myself looking at the situation, counted total joy. And as I was listening to some of these songs today, they were saying, Lord, I know these trials you're putting on me just to make me strong. And a lot of them songs, the tests and trials will come to make me strong. No, it's there. It's all in the songs. And I'm going, okay, I see counted all joy that you encounter these, that you could be strong. But then the question began to come up. So is God the author of the tests and trials that come to make you strong? And God spoke one word to me, which I'm going to prove through scripture. He said, tests and trials do not come to make you strong. They come to destroy you. The devil is not your friend. He is not trying to help you. He is not participating in God in a co-op to build your strength. Him and God have not signed an agreement to help you achieve your goals. He's an independent, destructive agent who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, then why does the scripture says count it all joy? Well, we said that if you endure and you have patience, you'll be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Verse 12 of James chapter 1 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, so we know trial and test are synonyms, right? In this light. The Hebrew word is parazo. Trials, tests, and temptations. Same word. He said, so blesses the one, blessed is the one, watch this, listen, who what? Persevere. It didn't say blessed is the one who's tried. It said blessed is the one who perseveres under it. Because having stood the test, again, counted all joy, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing, right? That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Need I say more? He just said, count it joy when you go through trials and tests. And the songwriter stopped right there because God is doing it to make me strong. God is putting these trials and tests on me to make me stand. And he goes to say, oh, and by the way, stop saying I'm doing it because I don't. He said, you bless when you stand under it. You bless when you hold your ground. You bless when you hold your ground and be strong. You bless when you resist the devil and give him the chance to flee from you. You're blessed when you hold out and trust me and don't stop trusting me no matter what the enemy's doing. But don't you dare say I'm doing it because I'm not. It's right here. It didn't say to let some people not say it. It said let no one, even the devil's kids, shouldn't say it. Now, you miss me. You're, that one, right? Woo! See?
See what's happening to him?
Mm-hmm. God don't like ugly. God is judging him. God said, don't you say even that is me. Their own daddy is whipping on them. Satan kills his own. He's no respecter person either. He kills his own. Let no one say, God is tempting me. People say, no, it says tempting is a different word. Parazo is the same word. Get your Hebrew, look it up. Parazo, parasmos, depending on what tense is being used. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt or test anyone. Now, before we go to the rest of it, let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, that he is tempted, tested, or tried of God. There it is. Why? What's the next line say? Read it. Because God cannot be what? No, read the rest of it. Tempted what? Whoa, 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 whoa. God cannot be tempted by what? What is God calling trials and tests? Can God give evil? There it is. Right there in your Bible. I didn't even write it. You got it. You know, people say Bible. Right there in your Bible. There it is. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he use evil. And if you look up that word evil, it says evil, harmful, or injurious things. Neither does he use injury or harmful things to teach you anything. Well, then where does it come from? Well, one, we know it comes from the devil. But it said, here's what it is. Each person is tempted, tested, or tried, and dragged away by their own desire and enticed. And then, after desire was conceived, it brings birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings birth to death. This is as far as we're going today. I'm going to break these down. And I'm going to break them down in such detail that you should never question this again in your life. And if one of them songs come on, pray for them silly people that they stop making stupid records like that. Get on their page and send them a link to this message. Watch this. When tempted, tested, tried, no one should say God is doing it. But God don't play with that stuff. It's evil. And he doesn't tempt, test, or try anyone. But each person, individually, not as a group, but individually, each person is tempted and drawn away by their own evil desire. Somebody say, own individual evil desire. That means there's one for everybody. That means there's one for everybody. Whatever that is. That don't have to mean killing and stealing and robbing. Hate, bitterness, gossip, hard-headedness, pride, arrogance, low self-esteem, guilt, depression. All of those are evil desires. Uh-oh, you don't want to have that conversation? Feeling sorry for yourself, all that, all evil desires. The devil will use it to try to push you straight into the grave, won't he? See, because we always want to look at just fornication and murder and robbing and stealing, depression, low self-esteem, self-pity, guilt, feeling sorry for yourself. Everything that goes against what God's word says about you. He said you should grab those thoughts, bind them up, and lead them away captive. It tells you that. It's your responsibility. But if you like your depression, if you like your self-pity, if you like your worry and fear, if you like your low self-esteem, I don't like it. Yeah, you like it. I talk to people sometimes saying, you, nobody here. But you know which ones you like. I'm talking to you, trying to bring you out, and you argue with me about why you're there.
You like it. You love it. Good Morning Heartache, it has a key. I don't want to be free from my depression. I've earned it. You don't know what's happened to me in my life. Here we go. But, okay, that happened all through your childhood, yep, and through your teenage years, yeah, and life was rough, yep, and mother didn't love you, father was mean to you, yep, all that stuff, yeah. At some point you did get saved, though, right? You did. Have you ever heard the term born again? The old life is died, it's a new life. Why are you still talking about that stuff? And now you're 50 and you're still having the same problem. I don't understand. How long ago? 20 years ago? You should have at least 20 years of new life to talk about. At least 20. Can we just do 10 of them? I'll take the last three. You love it. You love it. Feeling sorry for yourself. I'm talking to you in the camera. You see me. You love it. Feel sorry for yourself. Feels good. They got songs you could put on to help you feel bad. A lot of them Christian. To help you feel the pain of my struggle. Put it on and cry before Jesus.
Oh, God, yes, nothing's going right in my life.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay. At the end of the song, they're going to tell you it's going to be all right by and by. Someday, you ain't delivered now. That's all right. Hold on. Daylight going to come. I wish I could just copyright and own that one verse of scripture. I would make so much money because they use it all the time. Joy cometh in the morning. I'm like, well, how many mornings have passed? You've been saying this for 6 years. You got a lot of joys that just skip right past you. What is morning to you? How many hours in a day? Is there ever going to be your morning? I know some people ain't going to like this message, but it's all good. I can't stand a whiny, wimpy behind Christian. I can't stand them. I love them and try to be patient with them, but oh my goodness. Everything to not, as Chris Rock said, I won't hit them, but I would shake them. Because you should be ashamed of yourself. Knowing this powerful Savior that you know. Having this authority over darkness that you do. Still letting it smack you around like that. Like you, it's... I won't say the word. Because I'm a pastor. So watch this. God cannot be tempted with evil. That means Satan... Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. See, I'm telling you, I'm going to break this down word by word. It's only got a few sentences. God cannot be tempted with evil. Listen to me. Listening? You listening? That means the whole lie that people tell about Job came to God and gambled with him so that God could put diseases on him to see what he would do. Then God's tempted by evil. I bet you if you let him cuss you, he'll do it. All right, go ahead. Let's see. Let's do it. Bet. Let's see who's going to win. I bet you. Like rock, God is playing rock, paper, scissors with your life with the devil. Read the whole book. You'll find out what happened to Job and why. I'm not teaching that today, so I'm not going to go into it. Get the religious picture out your mind and the lie that's been told throughout church, and then go read the whole book. And God explains clearly in the 30th chapter why Job wound up where he was. He tells him why. Church folk don't like that. No, he was a good man. God even said he was a good man without fault. Okay, and so what's your point? So he didn't have any fault. So when God called Gideon mighty man of valor, when he was hiding under wine press, scared, what was that then? God calls those things that be not as though they were. If God had said he was a man with a fault, he would have been a man with a fault and nothing could deliver him. Because if God speaks it, it is. God never says anything about you but what he says, which is positive. You say all the ugly, stupid stuff, and you let the devil say it, but God never says it. God never agrees with you when you're even talking bad about yourself. When you have you ever gone to God with your pity party and say, I just feel so bad, I'm such a failure? And God said, yeah, you are. You sure are. I don't know, even know why I let you get saved. No, God will stop and say what he's called you to be. He will always speak over you, your destiny, not your present situation. So of course he's going to say Job is a right man, righteous in all his ways. What else would God say? If he said he wasn't, he would never be. Why do you think? Give me, roll my sleeves up. Why do you think that these people in the Old Testament understood the value of a name where his parents named him Jacob? God didn't name him Jacob. His parents named him Swindler. And he knew the value of that so much that he wrestled with God to God change his name. God, I will not have you calling me Swindler. I'm stuck here for the rest of my life unless you change my name. I'll knock your leg out of socket. You can knock my whole head out of socket. You are not going to pass me until you call me something other than Swindler. So his name went from Swindler to Father of Nations. But he stood there until he got that. God will never speak death over you, ever. So he does not try you to make you anything. He says what he says about you to make you something, but by your own desires, you are led into those other things. Amen. And even that, he's saying persevere. Because if you stand, all things will work together for the good. Even though you got you there. So God is not tempted to do evil. Satan can't tempt him. Well, God allowed it. Then God's tempted with evil. God participated. Oh, we can't have this conversation? If God allowed the devil to do it, then God participated. If I'm standing there and watch you kill my child and I do nothing, do they not arrest me as well? Well, that's what people accuse God of all the time. It's called complicity under law. You're complicit. You may not have pulled the trigger, but you were there when the robbery went down. And so you get in charge with homicide along with the person who pulled the trigger. Unless you rat on them and then they give you a break. But you're still doing some time because you was there. So what you're saying is, every time the devil did something evil, God's complicit. He's an accessory to the crime. But Christian songs say it all day. I'm telling you, I've got Christian songs in the mind. I drove here just letting them go. I said, God, I got to turn this one off. He said, let it play. You strong enough. It ain't going to pull you in. I'm like, but I want to pull them into something. Like, Lord, I can't stand nobody talking bad about my daddy. I can't stand nobody accusing my daddy of stuff that my daddy would never do. I can't stand church folks saying stuff about my daddy that's a lie. I can't stand it. But each person is dragged away and enticed by your own evil desire. So I want to point two words out here. It didn't say fall yet. It didn't say hurt yet. It just says enticed. Ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're going to write down some phases here. See, you know, the Bible says with every temptation, God faithful who provides the way of escape. Yeah. So I'm going to show you the opportunities you have to escape that you don't take. The first one is enticement. You ain't doing it yet. You just enticed. The desire is yours. But now you're enticed. You know what enticed is, right? Tempted, got the taste in your mouth. I know I shouldn't eat that cake, but if I keep staring in this window of this bakery, I'm going to buy that cake. You know, I'm trying to use a nice thing, right? I know I shouldn't touch that. But I'm going to keep looking at it, saying, God, make me strong. Make me strong. Jesus, make me strong. Whew! Make me strong, Lord, as you move closer to it. And step back. Lord, give me strength, Jesus. Give me strength. When I turn around, Lord, if it's your will, make the cake not be in the window. Oh, it's still there. I'm just gonna stick my finger on the cream. I'm not going. Enticed. I just want to taste the cream. Just give me a small slice. What's the smallest slice I can? You're enticed. You should have walked away from the baby, hailed the cab, and moved. No, but we kept looking at it. Gotta understand. Enticed. Then after desire has conceived, from entice, somebody say, my pastor's smart. From enticed to conceived. You didn't get pregnant from being enticed. You conceived after you did it. Okay? Come on, say, I'm trying to help you out here. So there's an enticement period that you can get away from. But once you don't get away from it, then it's conceived. I'm buying that cake. You know what? It's just one cake. I'm going to buy it. I know I've been doing well for weeks, but I deserve a break. I need to reward myself for my God understands. And he does. But enticed, and then you don't shut it down when you're enticed. It's conceived in you now. Now it's in you. It's in you. It's in you now. You're pregnant with it, with a thought. It's got a different place now. But now that you've conceived it, you're going to birth it. And remember, I'm talking about depression, feeling sorry for yourself, talking about your ailments and sickness and disease all the time. Well, my mama had it, and my brother had it, and my cousin had it. You know, it's corona all over. These people is getting that. Okay, you keep messing with it, and you keep watching it on the news. See, you're already enticed by it. Now you keep watching, then it's conceived, it gets in you. Now you start considering it. Oh, my God, do I have corona? Sneeze. You know, you sneeze every allergy season. But this season, it must be corona. Okay, can we have this conversation? It's got to be. So you're going to mess with it now, and you've conceived it. Sooner or later, you're going to give birth to it. You're going to wind up with it. And when it conceives, right, it gives birth to it. And here's what's the powerful part. Ready? Say, he's going to describe the grace of God. You already conceived it. You already gave birth to it.
but it ain't going to kill you till it's full grown. Look at it, and when it's full grown, then comes death. So God's still giving you a chance between the birth of it to it's grown, 18 years to get out. Are you seeing this? He said when it's full grown, death. So you still got some time through youth and adolescence to get up out of it. You still got time. That's the grace of God. He said, look, you are in this place because you messed with it. You played around till you conceived. You conceived till you gave birth. You gave birth, and now it's born. But it won't kill you still. Don't let it get full grown. Get up out of it. Walk away from it now. Renounce it and call it dead today. Speak the life that God has told you to speak and get on the right path. No, you can't unconceive, but you don't have to let it mature. It says, junk you've been speaking, those fears you've been exercising, and those things you've been speaking over your own life, you can speak them down. You can still renounce them. They're not full grown. Once it becomes full grown, that's when you start seeing it have full oppression and possession over people. You see them totally demon possessed with the spirit of fear, spirit of worry. I'm scared of planes. I'm scared of cars. I'm scared of boats. I'm scared of life. I'm scared of air. I'm scared to go outside. Right? See, those things are full grown. But God is saying, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Listen to what I just read to you. After saying all, he said, don't fool yourself. Only good stuff comes from me. That's how he wraps it up. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from me. Stop saying I let that happen to teach you something. Don't be that's deception. And people have lived in that so long in the church that it's been conceived, it's given birth, and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of church people have died under that lie that God put that on you for a reason. Because it's full grown. It's full grown. They can't believe any other way. I've gone to people who are sick and dying and said, you know, you need to not believe that that's from God. God gave me this. And it's like, all right, well, I'll see you. You know, let your family know if you want me to speak at your funeral or whatever. Because you're dead. I had somebody say to me once, well, they got cancer. And I called them, you okay? Good. And they said, God willing, I'll live. But if he wants me to go, I'm ready whenever he is. And my response was, make your arrangements, you're going to die. That ain't the nicest thing to say to a believer. Make your arrangements, you're going to die. Because you just said, if it's God's will for you to die of cancer, that's what you just said. If it's God's will, I'm going to die of this cancer. That's what you just said. Which is supposed to mean you don't know what God's will is. And his will says, he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of the peace upon him, and by his stripes you are healed and made whole. That's his will. Are you presupposing there's a will that goes outside of his written word? Because that's what you just said. So I'm telling you, you're going to die. You think anybody else church said that to her? No, but I did. You're going to die. And there was this moment of silence. I could feel the offense, but she was mature enough to say, I'm listening. And you could tell it wasn't a fun I'm listening, but it hit her spirit enough to say, I'm listening.
And I went in with every scripture that came to my spirit about healing. And every word that God ever spoke. And she knew them all. She'd been in church longer than me. And I said, now, are you telling me there's a will outside of that will? He put it here. Healing in his wings and all them good scriptures. 1,400 at your left hand and 1 at your 10,000 at your right. And it should not come near you when they start talking about corona. Am I to suppose that, but maybe God wants me to have it so that I can teach you something. And then have it and almost die, but then come back so I can show you the power of God. Come on now. But according to your faith, be it unto you. But I don't appreciate you saying that because I have family member that died. Well, God bless your heart and I hope God heals you, but you don't change your attitude, you're going to have it too. You're dragged away by your own desires, evil desires. And first is an enticement. Then the desire, after it is conceived, after you entice it and you take it into you, is going to give birth. And when that sin is full grown, it's going to collect. It's going to take its toll. But don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Only every good work and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Heavenly Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If he said by his stripes you are healed, he don't change his mind on one day. If he says he's come that you prosper, be in health, even that your soul prospers, he doesn't decide, but I want you poor. If he says that seek him for wisdom and all your wisdom get understanding, he don't say, but I want you stupid. Some of my believers I want to be smart. The rest of you, I want you to be dumb. He never says that. I want you and you and you to be secure, and the rest of you, I want you to be insecure so you can learn from them. I'm about to end walk. Amen and amen.